consider this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Stay consistent with God. Stay in your word. Don't neglect it. Robin brought up the 90-day reading. I know there's a few of you that were doing it, and it is a lot to read in 90 days. It's a very fast blast, as I've said before, but it's a good blast of information. It's not bad, and if you didn't remember half of it, it's okay, because you're just getting the overall picture. I know I started doing the 90-day reading as well, and I got to like day 20, and it was just becoming quite a lot to read through, so now mine's becoming like a year. It's okay. Whatever time that it takes you to read the scriptures, the reason that we sometimes just need to do that blast of reading through it is maybe because we've never read it, or because we need to be reminded, just a quick reminder of the stories, because we've read the stories many times, and maybe we just don't need to sit in that moment. We just need to hear them in our ears. And they encourage us and uplift us. Psalm 78, that would say for all of you to go home and read this afternoon. It's a reminder of past things that God has done for his people. God is an amazing God, and sometimes we can really get so involved in our lives that we forget how amazing and how perfect he is in all of his ways. Even with the power, with the men working and everything, God's hand is in all of it. And the time that it come on. And something that I was thinking about too is just was back in Exodus, or here, hold on, I'll read you the portion I looked it up after. Exodus 10, when everything was dark in Egypt. Right? And no one could see one another except for the people of Israel who had light. Exodus 10, you can look at that. But they had light, the people that were in God. Even though we're dark here earlier, we had light because we have light in our God, because he is light. Before there was light created with the sun, the moon, the stars, he was the light in the beginning. And often as you go through scripture, you will see that throughout everything that it's pointing back to the beginning, because it's all about him. He is a selfish God because he is about himself. He is. And it's okay, because he is in control of all things. He has made all things. He has created all things perfectly and good, as he said in the beginning. But because of sin, we know we're here in this state today, but we can rejoice because we have Christ who intercedes on our behalf, and it is a glorious interceding on behalf of us before God, so that we can come with our wicked selves and know that he covers us with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we are pleasing in his sight, because he sees Christ when he looks at us. And he remembers not our sin. Sometimes we can forget that he does not remember our sin. He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't say, oh, you remember last year when you did that, Brandon? What did you do last year? something that is, so as we get into this, I'll go with this. So one time I was in the field when we were farming for a while, and I was picking up bales. I'm sure as many of you have gone up to the field and grabbed bales, and round bales, not square bales. Square bales are horrible when you have to handball them and pile your stack nice and high, haul it all in, and you gotta unload the stupid thing afterwards once you pile it all onto the trailer. But if you want to make some money, though, actually, I'm not saying that you should go for money. That's not what I'm saying here. Not that money's, don't make money your God. But you can, with bales, make quite good money, in the sense of ones who have horses. They love them because they're nice to just throw around for themselves. 50-pound bales are good, too, because they're easy for anyone to carry. Just a little tidbit for you. So I was hauling bales, and I unhooked my trailer, and the bales were just spread all out. I didn't have them all nicely set up, so when I come back, I could just grab them one by one and put them on the trailer. So they're all spread around. So I unhooked the trailer, and I went to a farther part within the field, and on my way back, I thought, well, I might as well get going a little bit with my speed, the hay tractor comes to a stop and kind of bounces up, the back tire comes up a bit, and I'm like, what just happened? I don't even know what's just going on here. Well, other than my mind starts to think a little bit more in the moment, out of the seconds, right, or less than seconds that all this stuff happens, there was a bale in front of me that I forgot all about. So I hit this thing, but it's nice that bales are kind of soft because it maneuvers a bit, and it kind of climbed up over the thing with the front end loader, kind of went over top, and hey, the tractor was good. I didn't roll it. None of that stuff happened. But that is kind of like what happens with sin in our lives, too. We're cruising along, and we think it's all going well. We're reading our Bible. We're doing our 90-day plan. And bang, we hit that sin in our life. To quit, you just give up. Forget it, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not finishing my 90 days. No, we need to keep persisting. We need to keep going. Sin can come up quick. It's a fact. You can be striving and striving, and it can come up. It's there. Just like when I was cruising along in the tractor and just hit that bale. Situations come up in our life. But don't quit. Don't lose faith. Don't say, what was it for? Why am I even doing this? Repent. Come to your Lord and Savior. Because God stands in. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to stand on your behalf. So with Timothy, we see Paul pushing him forward. You will see throughout Timothy and 2 Timothy and stuff too that Paul said to him about his passions and to not seek after his passions. Does it mean that Timothy was giving in to his passions? No. But Paul wanted him to persist in the Lord, to grow in faith, and to diligently serve his Savior, to serve his God. And then as he did that, he would be of use to the hearers because they would see the life that is before him, and then those would see the life that he is living before them. I mean, I can't help but putting myself within this because Timothy could have been 30, 40 years old. I've now moved into the 40 and on bracket. I don't really know where I am. I'm kind of floating there. Am I old? Am I middle? Am I young? I don't know what I am. I'm a middle. What's that? I heard something? The best years. Okay, there you go. Nice. That's what I'll say. When people say I'm young, I'm in my best years. So, 1 Timothy 4:6. Timothy didn't need to be something in man's eyes. First, he needed to be living something in the eyes of God his Savior. On that note, I'm going to read to you verse 6 again. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. I know I brought this up to you beforehand a few times, and I've referenced this verse a few times, but the word that he followed, the good doctrine that he followed, was the word of faith that he found in Christ and through Christ, just like Paul found life. Christ. Those are not bad things to ever remind ourselves of. Christ and the work that he did for us. Verse 6 leads through 6 to 16 as we read together already. In this text, I will have this sermon this week and then not next week, but the following week, hopefully, to do on verses 11 to 16. I separated the two. The first part, we have a whole portion here with Timothy, but as well, I want to focus on a bit today, driving in the direction, is to focus on is not just as a pastor, but as us as people, because these things can all be applied to all of us, just like the characteristics of an overseer. Those characteristics are beneficial for all the congregation, just as well as it is for the overseer. So godliness as well holds two promises, is what I my thoughts on this and discovering this throughout this. And that's from verses 10, which says, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. That's not the verse I want to read. Verse 8, there we go. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This life now holds promise, and the life to come as well. We have a promise in that. We are here now. One day we will not be here. We will either go to the grave here specifically. Christ may come back. We may rise with him in glory. Or we may come out of the grave and rise with him in glory. We'll be given new heavenly bodies where we can stand in the presence of God and glorify him. Those are very good reminders for us, because we go through many battles in our lives, whether that's cancer that was brought up earlier, whatever that may be, and we question and we wonder what the Lord is doing, and we don't know what to do and how to go forward, but we can trust the Lord that he will take care of us. So Paul is talking to Timothy about looking after himself in verses 6 to 10. You see a lot of that in there. And then in 11 to 16, it then seems to move to others, the hearers, who learn from Timothy's looking after himself. First himself, Timothy, you need to care for yourself. That's the same thing with us as believers. We need to study the Word of God. We need to grasp and take hold of it for our own lives so that then we can share the gospel message with the world. If we don't understand what it is for us, we're useless out in the world to the people and to the hearers. As a pastor first, he needs to care for his own well-being in order to care for others. And may I make a focus on verse 6 and the importance in reminding you all, this letter was first written to a young pastor, Timothy, in Ephesus, before entering the ministry and leading in pastoral care. Timothy needed to first be taught sound doctrine. But the sound doctrine that Timothy learned too wasn't just from Paul at first. It started with his mother and his grandmother, who taught him the scriptures, the sacred scriptures. Remember, they only have the Old Testament too at this time. They don't have the New Testament being laid out right now. We're reading one of the portions of the New Testament in the canon that is now closed. Then later in life, he followed this sound teaching alongside the training of Paul. As Paul laid out an example for him, Paul grasped and understood it because his eyes were open when he was smacked off his horse. And the Lord said, "Will you do it? You're killing me." So Paul cared for his brother, his son in the faith. That's what he was looked at, was a son in the faith. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we are a family of God. And we need to care for, as men, your sister in Christ in a way that is glorious in God's eyes. Same thing with women, for the men. We need to care for one another in a way that is appropriate in God's eyes, because he is the one that sees everything that we do. And how we talk to one another, how we think about one another. Often our minds can float. I know I've been, the Lord has really been showing me with that too lately. It's just, you need to take control of your thoughts. Grab them. Not that you, I mean, everyone can actually grab them, we know that. But you need to grab hold of them, and you need to then come to the Word of God and give it to God. If your mind is drifting off into things that it shouldn't be drifting off on. Just like Timothy, he needed to make sure that he had control of his passions and desires. The flesh is still there. We have died in Christ and we have risen anew, but the flesh is still there, so we can depend on the Lord to take care of us in our walk. But we have a place where we have to diligently seek after the Lord in order to do this. If you want to deal with false teachers, because we've been talking about that, you can go into Corinthians, you can go into Titus, and you can go into many books of the Bible, and you'll see false teachers. You can go into the Old Testament, you'll see false prophets all over the place. You'll see them all over the place, because they're there, and they're going to be there until Christ returns and everything is fulfilled and glorified in the earth and glorious heavenly realm of God. So how do they train for godliness? I shall come back. Let me say this. If you want to deal with false teachers, start talking of having a personal spiritual life when talking to false teachers. This is an example of what Timothy is trying to give, what Paul's trying to give to Timothy. You need to have an exemplary life. Start talking to false teachers about truth, sound doctrine. You're going to get something with them. How do they train for godliness? What drives them spiritually is what the thought pattern becomes. This is how You deal with false teachers. You speak true doctrine. You don't come to him and point your finger at him and shake at him like I was doing earlier with Brandon. And point him at the same thing he did a year ago. You can tell us and confess. It's okay. A life that, as a pastor, has nothing to do with silly myths, wives' tales. It has nothing to do with that. Life of godliness has nothing to do with wives' tales. Wives' tales do not promote truth. They are speculations and made-up stories. Maybe bedtime stories even. But they're not true stories. It's much like the idea that the earth is millions of years old. I'm sure you've heard this myth before. More than once. Still out there. Theories. Maybes. It's a theory. It's declared as a theory. It's not truth. Theories that have been refuted on the foundation, these theories have been refuted on the foundation of God's word and science has proven it. But often I find if people believe in God, I should say this first. If people want to agree that the world is not millions of years, and that there's scientific fact proving that, they have to believe that there is a God. And then their sin is brought forward. But they don't want their sin to be known. Verse 6, we're focusing a bit on here. In verse 6, Paul wanted Timothy to put truth before the family of God. That's what I'm doing for you right now. The family of God, truth is coming before you. But first, he needed to be reminded of how he was able to live out faith in his own life. How to live pure, because it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. It's from verse 8. In verse 6, the word brothers is plural in the Greek. You've probably read this before. Meaning siblings. Which he first said, he said, if you put these things before the brothers, right there, we are the church, a family. Truth must be put toward God's children. You who have believed through faith, by faith, are God's children. Brothers and sisters in Christ. This brothers right here is sisters in Christ. It's all, it's the family of God, is what that verse is saying. W. Hall Harris, maybe you've heard of him, a commentator, he said, this verse, this is about verse 6, this verse gives a theme statement for what follows in the chapter after Timothy's ministry. The situation in Ephesus requires him to be a good servant of Christ, and he will do that by sound teaching. I know I keep repeating that to you a lot. That's why he keeps going on here. Harris says, and by living an exemplary life himself. This doesn't mean you won't fumble. Remember I brought up the bail? Bang! This doesn't mean that while you are running, you don't trip. I'm sure you've seen runners when they race with those pile of things that they always jump over top of.
Hurdles.
Hurdles? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to believe you. Those are hurdles. Trust in you here. So when they jump over, I'm sure you've seen them before. They hit them and they tumble and they fall. Anyways, drastic. Yeah. They get up. Yes. Yeah. They may have sore joints. Maybe they've rolled an ankle, whatever, but they do. They get up again. And they may not finish the race. They may not be able to, but it doesn't mean that they quit. Okay, I'm done with this sport. I'm not doing it anymore. And that's not true faith. That's something that you heard and you went, oh, this looks good. This is going to benefit me. But that's not true faith. You trust in what you're doing. Because you can trust in the ability that God has given you through the Word of God. And that's what was given for Timothy. The Word of God was taught to him so that he could use the Word of God not to benefit himself, to make himself look like something in man's eyes, but he was able to use the Word of God because it gave a promise for him then and for later on. And it's the same promise I give to you and the same promise that Timothy gave to the readers here in Ephesus as well. So don't forget that. There's a promise from God. So, one of my points, what are you striving for? You, all of you, what are you striving after? What are you striving for? Verses 7 and 8, let's read them together. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life. Remember Ephesians, the stamp that is there for us, those who are in Christ, the Spirit that dwells within us. strive after things that are valuable. As Timothy strived in faith and through faith, I keep bringing that up because if you look in Romans chapter 1, you'll see that portion of scripture there. He would have most likely placed habits in his life. I'm sure you've heard me talk about habits before a few times. And those habits are, when they're right habits, are good. So habits, when they're placed in our life, they can benefit him. They benefited him spiritually. When he put right habits in his life, when he trusted in God through faith. And it's beneficial as well, as much as it is for me, as much as it is for you, for the hearers. So bodily training is beneficial. We see this whole thing with training happening. There's nothing wrong with going to the gym. If you want to go to the gym, that's fine. But it's only going to work with your body now. And that body is passing away. You can stay fit. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It is beneficial. But bodily training is only beneficial for now. But spiritual training is lifelong, just as we said. And the promises, the two promises, it holds promises. Verse 8, it holds promise for this present life and also for the life to come. Don't forget these words. Paul directed Timothy to strive for godliness. Ephesus would have been a very sexual city. That's what I found out throughout history. And it's much like our own culture today. Our culture is very sexual. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. Not only sex with males and females and all that stuff. I mean, there's as well sex with female, female, male, male, all those things. But this is the propel in our society as a good and courageous mental state to want those desires as well. The ramifications, and that's as well to do with wanting to become a woman as being a man, or being a man, wanting to become a woman, and wanting to figure out ways that you can physically change your outside. Our world looks at that as courageous. It's not courageous because you're trying to destroy the thing that God made, which is beautiful and perfect, as he said in Genesis. Yes, there is sin, there is downfall there, but we have Christ who stands in. But when you do not have Christ in your life, you're driven and enticed by your master, Satan, and our world. When they do not have Christ, the world here where we are, when they don't have Christ, they're driven and enticed by their master. And they figure out ways to benefit themselves and not the hearers. Young people are taught lies from a young age. Think about what Timothy was taught from a young age. When the mind of a young person is in stages of understanding their own sex, the world wants them to give into satanic desires because it makes them money. It wants promoting it and fame. Most people are not famous for standing up for living right in the gender role. Slowly you're starting to see more people go, women, I talk to women that aren't Christians, hear things from women that aren't Christians too, and they're like, what's wrong with me being a woman? Why can't I have children? What is the big deal here? Why can't I be a mother at home? Why can't I stay at home and raise my children? And this is non-Christian people wondering these questions as well. Don't forget to pray for your neighbors, your unsaved neighbors, and your saved neighbors. Pray for them. So what are we striving for? What are you striving for? My question for myself too throughout this week, what am I striving for? I found myself many times this week at a place that I just needed to pray. Lord, what does your people need? What do I need? How do I live this life out? And I just laid it before the Lord, gave it to him. You should be striving after godliness. I should be striving after godliness. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Paul wasn't saying strive for godliness by making yourself look like an amazing piece of work. Paul's striving was beneficial spiritually, not only for him, but for his hearers. This is what he is reminding Timothy about. Devoting oneself to prayer in the ministry is one of the hardest ministries. It is. It's a very difficult thing. This takes devotion. This is not driven by your own flesh. You gather many proselytes only to make twice as much children of hell as you yourselves are. So around 23:15b. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be doing that. Verses 7 to 9. Learning to attain. I know we've read these, but I want to read it again. Verses 7 to 9. First one right here. Have nothing to do with irreverent silliness. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Always learning, but never arriving. I never want to become a leader who is striving against the wind. And never getting to the destination and never able to lead anyone else to that destination. The same goes for all of us in our Christian life. We can be learning and learning and learning, learning and learning some more, but never attaining anything. It is only head knowledge. And this does not mean spiritual knowledge. It says in 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning, never able to arrive at knowledge of God, the knowledge of truth. So who doesn't arrive at the knowledge of truth? Those having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. In 2 Timothy 3:5 in that section. Now remember this, church. The trustworthy saying in verse 9, this saying is trustworthy from 1 Timothy 4:9. This trustworthy saying, it is trustworthy, and it is deserving of full acceptance. Deserving of full acceptance. Now let me remind you of four other times that Paul says this. Another trustworthy saying that he says that is deserving of full acceptance. So if you have your Bibles, flip with me to 1:15, which says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul, the chief of sinners, trustworthy and full of acceptance, is that Christ saves. 3:1 as well, still here in Timothy. You flip over there. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. If anyone, men, that is, male for this portion, if any man desires a noble task, it's good. But does this mean that every man is to become an overseer? Of course not. We know that. It's okay. Just imagine, as I brought up earlier too, the characteristics that are laid out here. If each man that seeks after the noble task of an overseer continued in these, even though they didn't get the title or the position, just imagine if they sought after it. You can read through them for yourselves again in chapter 3. Then in 2 Timothy 2:11, the other Bibles, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And then in Titus 3:8, it says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Now, it is a trustworthy saying. We chosen by God, he laid laws before them, but not so that they would be burdened or put burdens on other people, which they ended up doing, as you see when Christ comes. But it wasn't to hold them down and to say, you will never make it, or to say, you must do this, and I must make money off of what you do in order to bring an offering to God. No, that's not what it was about. It was to be a light in the world, in a dark world. And that's what we are, to be a light in the dark world. And we're supposed to come to God because we need him all the time. We need him at every moment, at every hour, at every waking moment, at every sleeping moment. We need our God. So what powerful words these are for us to have. These words are powerful because they are spirit-led and penned. We know that from 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now go back a little further in the verse 12 here from this. It says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So maybe you're thinking, or maybe you thought many times, why would we be persecuted? What's the point? To live godly, you will be persecuted. It's what's going to come. It's what's there. But don't forget who God is. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, doing it in the daytime as well, it talks about, not just in the night, but in the daytime. But as for you, this is for the believer, this is for us, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, as well for Timothy, as what Paul is saying to him in this portion of scripture, as well for us as believers, as I stand here before you today, is remember what you have learned and firmly believed, it was built on sound doctrine. What you have learned, what you have studied. So what do you believe? All through the book of John, you'll see that throughout the whole book of John. If you go through it, at the end he says, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Not do you believe in your own works? Not do you believe in your own thought pattern? But do you believe in the work of Christ? Timothy learned something, and he believed something. Not in himself, but in Christ. So know from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Sacred writings point to Christ, and only through Christ do you find life. Timothy, go forward and sound words of the sacred writings. Trust the word. Hold tightly to the word. Speak the word with power as you train yourself in the word of life. Timothy was taught by his grandmother and mother. So this right, but what amazing men, women, and what women to look up to for all of you women, to think about them. Just how God gave them the ability to have minds open to the work of Christ, and then they were able to give it to a young child, and that young child was able to be used for the glory of God, to be able to lead his God's people to him, and to keep God's people in him by first him, Timothy, living a glorious life by seeking after not himself but after God. He was wise in Christ. So have you believed that he can save you? Only Jesus is the one that can save you. No silver, no gold, not your works, not your knowledge. Not your knowledge of him, and your own ability, or your own wisdom, just Jesus. Only he can make you clean. Only he can stand between you and the wrath of God that was meant for you, a sinner. Have you recognized you are the worst, a chief of sinners, as Paul said, that your sin is great, very great. Trustworthy words. Christ saves the worst. I am the worst. You are the worst. We are the worst. And Christ saves when we believe in him. Because his grace is greater. Greater than anything that we'll find in this world. Greater than all your sin. He can cleanse you and made you clean. He is able to do it. When he starts work, he will finish that work. The saying is trustworthy. Have nothing to do with the reverence, so yes, I'll come to a closer shirt here. Have you ever played with a little bit of sin? Have you ever stepped into a little bit of dog poo? Would you ever drink a little poison? Have you ever played with a poisonous snake? How long before it attacks? What happens in the end when that snake bites you? Overtakes you, right? And you may feel everything moving through your veins. I don't know, I've never been bit by a snake. But that's what sin is like. It can overtake you. Don't play with a snake. I mean, there are people that do it, but I recommend not doing it. Don't play with sin. Don't test it. Don't go just a little bit. And then I'll move on. You can easily be driven and enticed and fall away into it. Remember the tractor incident that I brought up earlier? You hit that bale. Don't give up. Don't just stop and say, I'll just lay in it. I'll lay in the sin. I'll give up what the Lord says. Spend time with your Savior. Don't lose sight of the life that you're living now and the life that is to come. Another trustworthy saying. 4:10 here in 1 Timothy. For to this end we toil and strive. Timothy, toil and strive. Brothers and sisters, toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. That is trustworthy. That is a trustworthy saying. Don't forget. If you're here today, honestly, and there is sin weighing on you, and you're feeling pressed down, don't wait to not come to the Lord and to confess that sin. After the service, you can be here after you sing, or at any moment, any time. You are welcome to come up here to this lay before the Lord if you need to, whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be here specifically in this place, but if you're feeling weighted, that you're stuck in something, and you just want to say, Lord, I need you, and I need your help, I'm sure there's many people here. I will pray with you. There are people here who will pray with you. If you need that, don't waste time. Don't try to put off what you can do today. Don't put it off tomorrow. Don't let that sin overtake you. Don't be driven and enticed by your own desires and stay in those desires. Come to the Lord for help. Know that He is trustworthy, and that He can care for you, and that He can handle whatever you say to Him. Your sin is not out of His eyes or away from His ears. He sees all things, He knows all things, and He's in control of all things. And He can care for you. And that was the whole reason He brought His Son. That's why He sent His Son, so that we who believe, and those who do not believe, and have come to understand and believe, have faith in a Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what age we're at, we can fall in sin. It doesn't matter how many years we've been in the ministry or whatever it may be, or in the faith, you can fall. You can slip and fall and smack your face right on the ground. And it's there, but it doesn't, you hit that bale, as I said. I knew the bale was there. I knew it was in the field, but I was like, I'm just going to cruise along. Bang! Right? That sin can be there. Don't lose sight, though, of how gracious your God is, that He is willing to forgive you, and that He will not forget you, will never leave you, will never forsake you. He starts a good work, He will finish that work. He will finish it to the end. He is the one who will faithfully do the work of your life. Trust Him and give yourself fully to Him. That's great. I thank you for this morning. I know things are a little bit different and kind of stuff is a little changed in the sense of lights not being on here today until now. And I just thank you that it worked out that come on now so I didn't have to scream at everyone all service. And I just thank you for the songs that were brought up that we sang together as well with our hymnals, our hymn books, and just for the leading of those who have diligently given themselves to prepare, as Robin did and the rest of them, to have the music for us today, to be able to gather together, to sing together, to worship together in this physical form, but that we wouldn't leave here today thinking, I did my duties today here on Sunday. Now I can go home and meet the actual thing that I owe. We are to live a worshiping life, not just here at Crescent Baptist this Sunday morning or Sunday evening for prayer. It's all throughout the week, each and every day, in our beds as we sleep, when we sit in our houses and we are thinking about others. We need to be thinking just thoughts, and when we're not thinking just thoughts of others, Father, I just ask that we would be convicted and that we would repent and that ask for you to be able to give us just thoughts for our brothers and sisters. Help us to be compassionate and loving to one another, to be hospitable to one another at all times, whether it's bringing ones into our homes or going to others. And this is good, and we need to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So help us to do this, Father. Help us to stay faithful to you from the work that you've already started in our lives. Let us be diligent to study your word. And I thank you that I was able to be here today. I know that there were others today that had canceled their services, their Sunday services. And I don't know where they're at, I don't know what all they're doing, but I just ask as well that you bless them. And I know your desire is for people to be saved. And I just ask that the people that we come in contact with us community that we can be bold to speak to them your love that you show to us and be gracious to them and not to go, oh, why are they so dumb to do those things? But that we would realize as Christians that they're in sin. They're driven and enticed by their own desires and Satan and his little minions. So help us to speak the word of God, speak